Halfway through the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, this segment brought to you by Zappia Group Realty. Frank and Mauro Zappia, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey, when 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuke with you here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Let's head to the hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the program Daniel Berthiaume. Winnipeg hockey fans, of course, know him as a former Winnipeg Jets goaltender. Daniel, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning. How's everybody in Winnipeg?
Doing very well. How are you doing, Daniel?
Oh, pretty good. We played our first game. I coach at Liberty University, and we won 4-1, so it was a good start of the season.
That's terrific. So let's start there. You know, well, obviously we'll talk to you about your time here in Winnipeg, and you're going to be back here playing in the Heritage Classic coming up in about 1 month's time. But you're an assistant coach for Liberty University. How have you been enjoying the coaching side of the hockey world?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. 2.5 years ago, I had a phone call from the head coach. Their goalie coach had left, and since I'm only 45 minutes away, I decided to go meet with them, and it became a really wonderful adventure. I like to work with young goaltender, and I work with them, and then now I'm running the forward during the game. And about a year ago, we had another former NHL player, Marc-Andre Bourdon, that played for the Flyers, Philadelphia Flyers, had to quit at age 24 because he had too many concussions, and he had headaches all the time, and he joined our coaching staff as a defense coach for the defensemen, and, I can't be more pleased with the way things are going in my life right now. You know, I got three beautiful children. I've been married for 23 years. It's been a great ride, and now having a phone call from Dale Hawerchuk about a month ago really put the icing on the cake. And I'm so excited to be part of that team playing against the Oilers. It's going to be a big challenge, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, Daniel, a lot of hockey fans know you as the Bandit, and we get asked a lot about where that nickname comes from, and I don't know. So I guess the question to you is, where did that nickname come from, the Bandit? And, of course, you were affectionately known as the Bandit with Pokey Redick, Pokey and the Bandit.
Well, that's where it all started. When Pokey and I started playing with the Jets, we were both young, and everybody had him had his nickname already, and we had a really good first year. I think we finished third and fourth in the league in goals against, and we both playing really well. We were really a tight tandem, and somebody came out with that one day, and then 7-Up decided to make a funny poster that sold so quick in Winnipeg. And it stayed with us the time that we were with the Jet. You know, it was fun. Pokey, I was his best man at his wedding, and I run into him a couple times, and I hope he's doing well. I haven't talked to him in a while though.
You know, Daniel, we put that picture up on our Instagram, and it's amazing the reaction from fans even today who still love that 7-Up picture that you and Pokey were in. The question I have for you is, you played here for 4 seasons, we were talking about the Heritage Classic and you coming in. What's one of your fondest memories of playing in Winnipeg?
Well, you know, the best memory, there's a lot of good memories from playing in Winnipeg, but when you're 18 years old and you're playing junior hockey, you've always been dreaming since you're a young kid to have your first game in the NHL, and for me it happens after losing in the final against Claude Lemieux and Jimmy Carson against Verdun in the final of the Quebec League. I got a phone call from my agent saying that Winnipeg wanted me to come and practice the guy that they had left from, that they had called up from the American League, and some player that they had left behind when they went to Calgary. So I practiced with them, and you know, it was definitely a change of pace, because every step that you make, the guys are faster, they shoot better. So it was an adaptation, and they happened to lose, I think, 7-5 and 8-6, if I recall right, the two first game in Calgary. So the next morning, I had a message at the hotel to come practice with the big team. And then, you know, you always remember those days. So I went in practice, and I noticed that the higher you went, of course, they were even better. And it was amazing how tricky they were, because they would pick the five hole, like they would wait certain time to shoot the puck, and it was all adaptation for me. And then I start picking it up, and at the end of the practice, he says, well, you're going to come and do the morning skate too. So I went and did the morning skate, and John Ferguson, after the practice, he says, hey, kid, he says, you're in tonight. So just imagine, you know, you're 18 years old, and John Ferguson at the time that I think he was coaching, sent me in there, and I mean, the butterfly were in real good, and you know, it was a great game. I got beat on my first shot, actually. Joe Mullen, I'll remember it like it's yesterday, cut on his off wing and put it upstairs on the glove side, and then we lost in double overtime for them to win the series. But you know, those moments, it's something that 30 years later you still cherish, and you know, you'll never forget. And the fans were wonderful that night, and you know, it was just a great moment.
Daniel Berthiaume is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's, of course, a former Winnipeg Jets goaltender. Daniel, you mentioned the excitement about getting the call from Dale Hawerchuk. You know, I presume you had heard that the Heritage Classic alumni game was going to occur. You know, take us through sort of that lag in time between when, you know, you officially, when the announcement was made about the game occurring, and then when you got the call from Dale Hawerchuk. How excited are you to come back to Winnipeg? How excited, you know, were you to get that call from Dale Hawerchuk?
Well, I had, me and Dale always had a good relationship when I was in playing in Winnipeg. If anybody knows, Dale used to love playing goalie, and at his ranch where he lived, he had a pond, and that would freeze, and we would spend hours playing in the backyard like kids. He would play goal, and I would be the shooter, and I mean, that we played a lot of times. And when I found out about the Heritage game, I gave him a call at Barrie, where he coaches a junior team, and I said, just so you know, I've been playing with my university. They bought me a new set of gear last year, and I got back. That was before that I knew about that game. I just wanted to play again and get back in the net. And I told him, I said, you know, if you need a goalie, I've been playing. And he says, well, he said, the team should be done in about 2 months. He says, I'll let you know.
You're Daniel.
And,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep going.
And so, you know, I watched when they announced the player, when they had their Edmonton and the Jet announced their starting lineup and all that, some of their player, and Bob Esenza was named. That was great. I mean, me and Bob played together for a little while, and he's a good goalie and a great guy. So I'm like, well, there's still a spot open. And it took time to. And I told my wife, I said, you know, there's a lot of goalies that have been through the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, it might happen, it might not. And she goes, well, call Dale again. I said, no, I'm not calling him. He knows I want to play. And if he wants me, he knows where to find me. And sure enough, about, I'd say, 3 weeks passed. And then I was coming, because I'm a charter captain on the lake that we live on for striped bass. And I come off the boat, and I see a 519 number. And at first it didn't click in my head that it was Dale, so I'm like, I listened to the message, said, it's Dale, give me a call, need to talk to you. So I called him back, and he said, well, he said, you want to play? I said, of course I want to play. He says, well, he says, Bob wants to play one period. He said, you're going to play two periods. He said, you're up for the task. I'm like, hey, I've been skating every day, you know. I'll do the best I can. And, you know, my youngest son was with me at the boat dock, and you know, he's 8 years old, and he knows about, you know, everybody. I said, Daddy's gonna play in the game, but let's keep it quiet until we get to the house. Well, that didn't work very good. He went from the dock to the house screaming, I'm gonna meet the greatest hockey player of all time, Gretzky. So it was pretty cool. I mean, everybody here is excited. My three kids, my wife, we're all coming there, and you know, just hope that we give a good performance, and we're surely playing a team that everybody knows that from Winnipeg that is a great great team that proved what they could do on the ice, and I'm sure after all these years, you will be surprised to see how good the guys still are.
Well, Daniel, I think I speak for everybody here in the studio and all Jets fans in Winnipeg. When Bob Esenza was named as the first goaltender, everyone was hoping that it was going to be you named the second goaltender. So certainly everybody in Winnipeg and Jets fans everywhere really excited that you're going to be here for the alumni game. A lot of people don't know that after your NHL career, you ended your NHL career with the Ottawa Senators. You had a long career in the ECHL. And actually, Daniel was recently inducted into the ECHL Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you and your family?
Well, I mean, that was another... Every time I get a phone call, it seems I'm getting off the boat from a charter. So now, lately, I've been coming off the boat with my phone in my hand to see if I get other good news. But, no, that was pretty special. You know, I could have had a much longer career in the NHL if... you know, the kids today, I come prepared. They work hard. They dedicated. I'm not saying I was not dedicated at working hard in practice, but you know, now that I'm 50 and I'm not a kid anymore, I could sit down and come go back on my career. And there's a lot of things I would have done different, knowing what I know now. And you know, preparation would have been much better. Off ice training would have been much better. You know, I was young and sometimes act too young, and that's what killed me. And when I came, when my days in the NHL were over, I still loved playing the game. So I'm like, you know, and my agent knew a coach here in Roanoke. That's where I met my wife. Everything happens for a reason. Played here 9 years, and I mean, you know, I was still playing at a pretty good caliber, and I won I don't know how many games. Never won a cup, but, I mean, you know, keep playing at a high standard and still enjoying to play. And, you know, the reason I quit at 39 years old is my back start acting up, and I'm like, well, you know, it better. I've done what I had to do at these levels, and I had a good career, so I hanged them up, and I didn't play for 4 or 5 years, start feeling good again, you know, in better shape than when I played. So, and I decide to, when I started working with the goalie, I'm like, well, what better to, for their goalie coach to put the pad and show them that I could play too, you know? And I got back into it, and you know what? I got a couple ring around the head. It was great. You know, I got a one-timer in the mask the other day. I'm like, that's the old feeling that I miss. You know, it's crazy. It's just things that you love to do, and you think because you're older that you can't do it anymore. But that's not true. It's just, 50 is just a number, right?
Absolutely. Daniel,
you know, I just decided to go back with the boys and have some fun, and they enjoy it. I mean, the players love to score, and they love when I make a good save. It's been a great experience. And now with this, the good thing when he asked me to play is that I'm on the ice every day. I'm on the ice two hours a day, and, you know, it's funny. I told my coach, I said, listen, I said, I'm going to work out harder for 40 minutes of hockey at 50 when I had my old career in front of me, and I wouldn't do it. I mean, how stupid is that? But it's just because I missed it so much, and the excitement is there because, you know, in a way, I started my career with the Jets, and, you know, the fans treated me wonderfully, and it's going to end with the Jets. So how special is that? You know, you open the chapter, and you close the chapter. And, you know, it can't be a better scenario for me. I was hoping that it would happen. I didn't know if it was going to, but now that it's there, the excitement is really, I'm really excited. I mean, I can't wait to, when I get on the ice, get the butterfly that I had a long time ago because it's been a while since I played in front of 30,000 people.
Now, Daniel, what's it going to mean to renew that Smythe Division rivalry? Because, you know, fans of Winnipeg Jets 1.0, when growing up watching the Edmonton Oilers generally get the best of the Winnipeg Jets. How motivating is that for you to beat Gretzky, Messier, Curry, Lowe, like all those names that you went up against in the 80s?
Well, it's exciting. I was looking at their lineup. Actually, I've been looking at it a couple of times because everybody asks, they always tell me, they're like, did you see their lineup? I'm like, yeah, I did see it. It's very good. You know, Ryan Smith's playing too, so that makes them, they're already good. That makes them even better. You know, they got everybody that they team had when they were winning Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, of course it's a challenge. I take it as a challenge. I'm not going there to play a game to lose. I've never played a game to lose, and I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure it's probably not going to be like it used to be, you know, guys crushing each other, and you know, but it's still, I'm sure that all my teammates, they want to do well, and they want, you know, they know who we're playing against. I mean, I played with Wayne Gretzky in L.A., and he's unbelievable. I mean, the words for him, and he was towards the end of his career, is phenomenal. I've never seen a player that could make plays and has eyes around his head, sees everything. And what's most amazing about Wayne is that, you know, he does his talking on the ice. He's not a rah-rah guy in the room. He's very quiet. But when he talks, it's like you could hear a pin drop. You know, he's a very special person. You know, I had the chance to play with some very high standard player that Yari Kurri, Charlie Huddy, all part of that team, and they all have the same, they all class act, they all great player that works hard, and that's why they were so good. They were talented and they were working hard, and you know, they didn't steal what they had. They could have, if they stayed together, they could have probably won more Stanley Cup. So, yes, it's a challenge. It's going to be fun, and hopefully there's going to be a lot of pucks that are going to go in my glove.
Daniel Berthiaume is a former Winnipeg Jets goaltender. He was known as the Bandit when he played here. He's now known as Captain Daniel Berthiaume when he's on his charter boat. Daniel, really appreciate your time this morning. We look forward to seeing you in about 1 month's time here in Winnipeg for the Alumni Classic as part of the Heritage Weekend.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure, Daniel. Thanks very much. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, much more NHL talk. Big thank you to Daniel Berthiaume. In case you missed any of that interview, we'll have it available on illegalcurve.com. You can subscribe to the program on iTunes. Just get it sent to you each and every week automatically. But that was a great interview, great walk down memory lane. And that's sort of what the most exciting part to me about the Heritage Classic weekend and the alumni game is getting to talk to all these guys from our childhood. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, Daniel Berthiaume, he was the goaltender of the Jets, you know, when I was, you know, in my formative years. And that, you know, him and Pokey and Essence, those are the guys who really jump out to me more than anybody else. So it's great to talk to Daniel and great to hear the excitement in his voice as he returns to Winnipeg coming up in about 1 month's time for the tournament.
By formative years, you mean your 60s?
Yeah, my 60s, exactly right.
One thing I'll say about Berthiaume is that we didn't get a chance to, because we
you could do that forever. Yeah.
Yeah, we could have been there forever talking to him, but I want to talk to him about his Captain Bert's fishing charts.
Well, you're a big fisher.
I love fishing.
So I'm sure when he's here next month, you'll get the opportunity to, you know, butter him up. Maybe you'll be able to head down to West Virginia, David, and get on the charter with him. And you can, what do you say? He's going for smallmouth bass?
No, striped bass.
Sorry,
a pretty good fighting fish.
Hold on, if we're talking fishing right now.
We're not talking fishing right now.
Yeah, we were.
Well, let me just hang on. Can I do a promo?
We were just talking about fishing.
Can I mention that this segment's brought to you by Linden Market Dental Center
and
Dr. Les Rikus, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey?
Les will be upset if we don't read this.
Right. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. You know, could use some mouth protection or mouth guards. The fish when you go fishing.
That's true.
Yeah.
To prevent the hooks from going in their mouth.
That's exactly it. For more information or make an appointment, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com.
You know,
now you can continue talking about fishing, Ez.
Well, Captain Daniel Berthume, of course, runs a fishing charter.
Yes.
And we're talking about fishing. Dave is a master angler.
Hang on,
but
we're going to fish Dave?
I'm a master angler now, too. Not a master
angler. You're a master something.
But I caught a little 24.5-inch walleye summer.
On your fishing trip when you saddled me with Remus for a show?
And we're going to have Paulie Edmonds coming up, and I know he was recently on a fishing trip, so I want to exchange fishing stories. You know, Drew, I've only fished probably twice or three times in my life,
uh-huh.
And shout out to my girlfriend Naomi for getting me into fishing.
Uh-huh.
And I got to say, I think I'm a natural.
You're
I'm pretty good.
I'm sure you're a natural at the fish fry portion of the evening.
I know what I'm doing, and I'm just saying people are talking that I know what I'm doing out there, and I've caught some smallmouth bass as well, and I think I might be able to one day. I'm just saying, maybe I'll be a captain one day.
Captain Ezzy?
Of course, the only I hate you rain on your parade and
burst this bubble.
Although raining is good generally when you're fishing.
Yes.
It's overcast, especially for walleye. But unfortunately, as master angler, walleye is 28 inches in Manitoba.
Dave, do you like jigging or casting?
I get jiggy with it.
This is the most bizarre segment I've
ever
heard.
Jigging.
Okay, going back to hockey. God help us. A lot of chatter. Alex Ovechkin came out this week.
Have you ever fished, Drew?
I have before. It's not what I would describe as my favorite pastime. I'm more of a, if lots of people say, fishing and golfing, those sort of go hand in hand maybe as pastimes. I'm more of a golfer than I am a fisher. But
one's on land and one's in the water. I don't really
see those. Hey, Ez, you've never seen me. You obviously haven't seen me golf. It's in the water a lot.
And you can tell Drew's not a fisherman because he keeps referring to people as fishers. Generally, I've never heard anybody.
I believe that would be a gender-neutral term would be fishers as opposed to fishermen or fisherwomen.
I'm not suggesting that the proper English language you're incorrect. I'm simply saying that no fisherman or woman reference themselves.
Dave, can we put Drew in the live well?
I don't even know what that means.
I like it. All right, let's talk hockey.
Ovechkin, he says he's going to the 2018 Olympics regardless, even if he's under contract to the Capitals and even if the NHL says that they're not going. You have Bettman, who comes out last night and says World Cup does not spell the end of the Olympics in the NHL. Can you do both? Can you have the World Cup? Can you then go to the Olympics 2 years later? What about the players sort of putting pressure? A lot of players have come out this week and said the Olympics are still important to us. Is the NHL going to want to go to war with their own players over the Olympic question?
Well, in 2004, the World Cup was played, and then after the Olympics were in Italy and the NHL participated. So there is definitely a precedent, Drew. But I think
the Olympics were in Italy in 2006.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but you said, okay, sorry. Yes, I see what you're saying now. Sorry. I thought you meant the same year. I apologize.
No,
go on.
Well, it would be the same 2018 2016, right?
That's right.
And, I mean, we were talking about this back in 2014, remember, Drew, with the Sochi Olympics and whether or not the NHL was going to participate. And they actually didn't fully sign the agreement until, 5 months before the Olympics in February 2014 because of all of the issues with the insurance and all that. I mean, let's be honest, guys. We all know why they wouldn't go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about why they would go to the Olympics, and it's just because of the reason you mentioned, Drew. It's because the players want to go.
Yeah.
And sure, the NHL isn't going to make any money from the Olympics, but you know what the NHL is going to make money from? The World Cup of Hockey, and it might be close to $100 million.
Well, I can also see that. I mean, the World Cup of Hockey is a joint participation between the NHL and the NHLPA. Obviously, the NHL wants to have another World Cup of Hockey probably in 2020. I can see the players saying, the quid pro quo for us to participate in 2020 is we get to go to the 2018 Olympics, just like they got that bye week sort of in February.
Right.
Each team is going to get. That was the quid pro quo for this World Cup of Hockey.
Yep.
I can see the players saying the 2018 Olympics is the quid pro quo for the 2020 World Cup of Hockey.
And guys, at the end of the day, that's what matters, right? I mean, the NHL owners it's pretty clear what their opinion of the Olympics would be. They would say, okay, yes, sure, it's a good opportunity to showcase our games, but show me the money, right?
It's all about the dollars. It's all about the Benjamins.
But if the players want to go, though, they'll go.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that the NHL will be at the 2018 Olympics.
When we come back, Paul Edmonds joins us from Penticton, British Columbia. We'll talk about the Jets and the Flames Young Stars game last night. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program our very good friend, even though he said some very mean, very hurtful things about me last week, Paul Edmonds, Winnipeg Jets broadcaster here on TSN 1290. Paulie, how's beautiful Penticton this morning?
It is actually not very good, guys.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what the temperature is, but they're calling for a high of 19, and it is overcast and raining here in the valley.
I can't believe it would be raining in BC.
Well, they do get it here every once in a while. You got to have a little bit of moisture to grow all those grapes to make all that great wine. But yeah, they get a little sticky about the rain in the interior here. They're used to it, certainly on the coast, as you suggested, but not here. They like 30 to 40 degrees Celsius this time of year, and they're not going to get it today. But that's okay. It'll be a good down day, and the Jets rookies will practice today and have a bit of a down day before having two games in 2 days coming up against Vancouver and Edmonton to finish this thing off.
Well, and they got into action last night against the Flames, a 4-1 defeat at the hands of the Flames Young Stars. Jansen Harkin scoring the only goal for the Jets rookies or the Jets young prospects. You know, what was your, did you have a one takeaway from last night's game more than anything else? You know, what were your impressions about the performance from the Jets Young Stars last night?
Well, I think we have to caution against putting too much into one game, and it certainly wasn't, to use a political term these days, a basket of deplorables out there. I mean, certainly there was some...
That's actually our new tagline here at Legal Curve. Come listen to the basket of deplorables.
Listen, there was some mistakes that were made, and I think that if you really want to criticize, there was some mistakes that were made that you kind of looked around and went, you know, even at this level, these kids need to be better than that. But having said that, it's a collection of kids that haven't played together, guys that are probably nervous, probably trying to do too much, overanalyzing, and just not simplifying their games because of where they are right now and trying to make an impression. So I would imagine that tomorrow will be a little bit better against the Vancouver Canucks Young Stars. But what I took away from the game, Drew, was just the individual performances of a couple of players. And really, when you sift this whole thing out, you're looking for a couple of guys out of this, maybe a handful, as many as a handful, to elevate their games enough to get to main camp and then eventually become NHL stars. And those guys were Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor. Those two were dynamic last night. The speed that they have, the creativity, the awareness on the ice, the game that they have away from the puck, it was a lot of fun to watch. When they played last night against the Calgary Flames Young Stars, they had Calgary in some trouble, especially in their own zone. They were able to cycle with the puck, possess the puck. They were able to cause turnovers. I really liked the game they played. It was interesting because Jimmy Lodge, who spent some time with the Moose, as Dave would know, last year, and then certainly down in Tulsa as well, played on the right side. And he played okay. You know, I mentioned a couple of times he probably thought he had died and gone to heaven playing with those two players. I mean, it would be like playing with Gretzky and Lemieux to some degree for a lot of guys like ourselves, even if it was only one game or one shift. But we'll see if they continue with Jimmy on that right side or maybe elevate somebody else going into practice today for Pascal Vincent. But I really liked the game that those two played. Jansen Harkins had a pretty good game as well. I thought that he was the surprise of the tournament last year, and he was able to kind of take this to another step and score a goal last night on a nice two-on-one break with Matteo Gennaro after blocking a shot at their own blue line and turning it into an odd man rush in a four-on-four situation because the teams got into a little bit of penalty trouble. But the other part was 23-year-old Jamie Phillips, who I thought was outstanding in goal, for the Winnipeg Jets in the first half of the game. So he split duties, of course, but I thought he was really good. And, you know, he spent a solid career at Michigan Tech, and now has come into his own to try to become a pro. But the numbers were solid down in the NCAA, and you could see why. He's a little bit older than the average mean age of this team. And he showed it with poise and making a couple of big saves when the Jets' young stars made some rookie mistakes in their own zone, some turnovers in their own zone, some bad passes. There was another one that they gave up, an odd man rush after a turnover at the Calgary line that ended up going into their zone, and Winnipeg ended up taking a penalty on it. But for my money, it was those three or four players that really stood out last night, and I'll be looking at what they do to take that to an encore performance, perhaps against Vancouver tomorrow and then subsequently against Edmonton on Monday.
Paul, it's a former Master Angler Ginsburg here.
Former? Once you are forever, has he?
I just haven't caught a Master Angler this year.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wanted to ask,
BA, Master Angler.
Wanted to ask you about Logan Stanley, Paul, because he was a surprise first-round pick. The Jets, of course, traded up to draft Logan Stanley, and he's going to play for Windsor in the Ontario Hockey League this year. This is his first pro experience. What did you think of Logan Stanley last night?
Well, he would fall in the category of don't put too much into what you saw last night. I didn't think, and I don't want to be overly critical, but I didn't think that he had a very good game. But neither did his defense partner, Nelson Noje. And if you really want to get, you know, critical and kind of technical on their games, I thought that Nelson should have been better because Nelson's been around the block a little bit at this tournament before. And, you know, you're playing against your peers, but Nelson's a little bit older. So those two as defense pairings or partners struggled last night, in my opinion. I didn't think they moved the puck very well. I thought that they were a little slow in making decisions with the puck in their own zone. As a result, they got checked, and now you're standing around flat-footed. I thought at times they didn't really know how to switch off with each other and look sharp in their own zone. So, you know, to answer your question succinctly, I thought that it was a bit of a wake-up for both of them, but for Logan Stanley for sure, because he's one of those guys, I think, that, you know, is looking at the fact that he was a first-round draft pick because they traded up and traded a couple of draft picks below to get him at 18th overall in the first round, and maybe just felt a little bit more pressure. I thought he was okay at development camp in July. I thought that last night there was times where he looked a little out of place and maybe a little slower than he wanted to be. So going forward into this thing, I think that he would be one of those guys that you would say probably should be a little bit better when they get to the ice tomorrow against Vancouver, because he'll probably try to step back. Somebody's probably talked to him, simplify his game a little bit, not be as nervous because he's got one game out of the way. But this is kind of a pattern that I've noticed here. I've never really been impressed with any of the Jets defensemen at this tournament. This is my third time at it, and I think you go back and you could really make the same sort of statements about Josh Morrissey a couple of years ago and the way he played at this tournament as you have or could with one game for Logan Stanley. So I don't know what it is, but I think it's part of the position of defensemen, and that is it's just a little bit more difficult to materialize into one of those NHL-caliber defensemen. So I don't think that we should suggest that at 18 years old he's going to jump into the National Hockey League, although I did write in my blog that, you know, if he has a good development camp and then training camp and Jacob Trouba is still on the outside looking in with a contract dispute with the NHL Jets, that maybe Logan Stanley gets a little bit more of a look. But overall, to answer your question succinctly, I thought that he struggled a little bit last night, Ezzy.
Paul, you just touched on your blog, the five questions for Jets rookies in Penticton that you wrote on TSN.ca.
Yeah. Hang on, Paul. Who wrote that for you?
Paul, that was Drew, obviously.
Of course. But I'd never reveal my source.
So anyways, Paul, so you wrote that on TSN.ca yesterday, and the first question you asked was which prospect has a chance to play in the NHL, and you've touched on two of them in Roslovic and Connor. And the third one is the one that's interesting to me is Brendan Lemieux, and we obviously saw him play with Manitoba at the end of last year, and coincidentally get into a fight with Keith Tkachuk's son, which his dad and Tkachuk got into a fight in 96 at the World Cup. So my question for you is this: what do you think of Brendan Lemieux? Are you impressed by what you saw? Obviously, it was one game, but and what are your expectations for him for this season?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, he's one of the three kids that I think has an opportunity to play with the NHL Jets this year. And whether that's to start the season, I'm not sure, or whether that is at some point being a call-up. But he was real close last year, David. So, you know, based on that, you've got to think that if it's a similar type of training camp, that he'll get every opportunity. And there is opportunity, I think, in the bottom six for a guy like him. He has a unique set of skills. He has very good offensive skill, not to the level of a Roslovic or a Connor, but I'll tell you what, you give him the puck in close, say from the ringette line in or out of the corner with a little bit of space, he'll get the puck to the net and he will make a good shot, and then he'll charge for the rebound as well. So, you know, he has puck skills. He's very, very similar to the way his father played. But he also has that grittiness, that passion, that under-that-skin ability. He's a yapper. So he provides the Winnipeg Jets with something that they don't have an abundance in with this group of youth. You know, you could say that they have it a little bit with a couple of guys that are already at the NHL level that could fight and could play that role. But I think that what Brendan Lemieux brings is a little bit more of an offensive flash to possibly that position. Now, he got under a number of Calgary Flames skin last night, Matthew Tkachuk being one. And let me just say that Matthew Tkachuk was very impressive last night for the Calgary Flames and their Young Stars squad as well. You could see why the Flames are high on this kid. And he's a lot like his father as well. You know, good offensive skill and not afraid of the dirty areas as well. So, but it was really interesting to see Brendan Lemieux skate around and then have everybody try to be the focal point of him from Calgary and almost get them off their game. He was able to do that for a couple of periods, and then Calgary overtook the Winnipeg Jets in the third period, and the rout was kind of on by the score. For the first 40 minutes, it was pretty close. But I think that he has a unique ability, as I suggested, and a different kind of makeup that the Winnipeg Jets are looking for, that Paul Maurice kind of likes with his team. He fits into that Paul Maurice kind of identity. I want you to be able to skate. I want you to be able to score goals, but I want you to be able to pound bodies and make a statement out there within the rules, and have it be the Winnipeg Jets way. And that's sort of what they've been gearing toward. And Brendan Lemieux, for my money, fits into that kind of mold or that character that you're looking for. Whether he makes it this year or not, I'm not sure. But we know that he'll be in Winnipeg this year. He knows that, whether it's with Manitoba or with the Jets. But I would think that if he gets sent down at the start of the season, at some point, if he has a real good start to the Manitoba Moose season, like he did last year in five games with 3 points, including two goals, that he'll be a call-up. So I think that we'll see Brendan Lemieux as a Winnipeg Jet at some point this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe to start the year.
Paul Edmonds is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, talking about the Young Stars tournament taking place in Penticton, British Columbia. Paul, you know, with all the hype around Patrick Laine, and, you know, deservedly so, second overall pick, is Kyle Connor sort of under the radar now after he spent most of last season, which was obviously a lost year for the Winnipeg Jets, and Jets fans were really focused on what he was doing at the University of Michigan? Is Kyle Connor now sort of a little bit under the radar for this Winnipeg Jets team?
You know, I would have thought yes until I saw him play again last night or play last night. This is, I think, a kid that's going to get another opportunity or every opportunity, like I suggested with Brendan Lemieux, to try to crack the bottom six at some point. I don't think it would be a stretch to say that Kyle Connor could be a real good fit after 1 year of college hockey in the United States to be on your third line to start. I think that would be a great spot for him. If you suggested to me that this kid with all this talent and all those goals, 35 of them in 38 games last year in NCAA hockey, smashing records and leading the NCAA, all of their conferences in scoring, and in my opinion, getting skivved on the Hobey Baker Award to Jimmy Vesey, it was a travesty of awards, if you want, but that's for maybe another half hour on your program. This kid, if you plug him in your third line, I think you're doing really well based on what you have for your depth at your forward core. So, you know, is he under the radar? Yeah, I guess a little bit, because there was the Line A craze that that happened through the spring and then right through the summer. But right now, if Patrick Line A in Finland continued to go forward and very deep into the World Cup of Hockey tournament, and we get to main training camp and then some of the exhibition games with Kyle Connor, I think that the interest level is going to go up in him as well, because we've already penciled Line A in into one of the top two lines, probably the second line, because Paul Maurice has suggested, as he did with Nikolai Ehlers last year, that he doesn't like to have rookies come into the National Hockey League and be presented with an opportunity on the top line. So I think that the logical spot for Line A to fall is into the second line spot. So now, if we've already sort of posted him there, then where do we look for others to kind of fall into? Well, now we look a little bit more closely at a Kyle Connor. So, yeah, a little bit under the radar as the summer went along, but now that they're back on the ice, I think there's certainly a spotlight on him, especially with the way he played yesterday and the NHL speed that we saw from him and the ability to handle the puck. I think that he's got every opportunity to crack this lineup this year as well, especially on the third line. And I think that he'll skate out of any Line A shadow that has been cast on him and skate to open ice himself to make a name for himself. And that's only good for the Winnipeg Jets and their fans, because if you can get both those kids in the lineup this year, it should be a lot of fun to watch. It's not going to be a guarantee that they're going to win a lot of games and get to the playoffs, but they'll be entertaining, guys.
Now, Paulie, we had Tim Campbell on the show earlier, and we were talking a little bit about the Toronto Blue Jays and whether they're going to hang on to the AL wild card. And we got to ask you, you're, of course, now the voice of the Winnipeg Jets, but for many years you were the voice of the Winnipeg Goldeyes. What's it been like for you following the Winnipeg Goldeyes on their quest for an American Association championship?
Well, it's been, you know, I know what it's like. I mean, it's so volatile to build your team. I've often said publicly and certainly on programs like this one, that being a manager in independent baseball is a lot like being any kind of a coach at the college level. You know, not only are you coaching basketball, football, hockey, baseball, whatever it is, but you have to go out and recruit and you have to sell your program. And Rick Forney, for my money, is one of the best guys at doing it. And, you know, he took over the program in 2006 for Hal Lanier after a couple of years when the team didn't make the playoffs in 04 and 05, and the organization wanted to go a different direction. And, you know, he found his way to the playoffs early, but he's really found his way to being a really astute talent assessor, and he's really built up his network, and that's what it's all about. So to answer your question, he was able to take a team that had a pretty decent foundation last year that didn't make the playoffs and build in around that and have a couple of anchors like a Reggie Abercrombie and an Anderson in the pitching staff. So, you know, they struggled at the start of the year, and then they seem to have found their stride at the midway point, rattled off a great winning streak to 10 games, got themselves back into contention, got themselves not only in contention for a wild card, but almost to the point where they put the pressure on St. Paul to win the division. And St. Paul, I think their lead was down to 2.5, I think, at one point, if memory serves. At one point in the season, they were 9 or 10 games ahead of the Winnipeg Goldeyes for the division. So that went down to the wire. And then, of course, because they gained that confidence and then they made a couple of moves near the end of the season before the trade deadline, they were able to feel real good about themselves going into the playoffs. And then, you know, battled back in a series against the St. Paul Saints, their arch nemesis next to the Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, and get past them, falling behind in the series and then winning 2 out of 3 in St. Paul, which is quite a feat, and then moving on. So they get the first game against Wichita. Pete Rose Jr.'s squad comes back and settles in a little bit and beats the Goldeyes in the second game, and now they go down to Wichita for 2, for sure, maybe 3. But I've been very impressed by what they've been able to do this year. Rick and Tom have built a real good team. The organization is as solid as it's ever been under the guidance of Andrew Collier. And we'll see what happens, because this is a repeat of what we saw in the finals of 2012, which was the 1 year of the 19 that I was able to see the team win a championship. All those years that they went to the finals and couldn't win it. It would be a shame if they couldn't get it done against Wichita for a second time in 3 years and or 4 years and win another championship, it would be great. But well-deserved, and I know they finished up strong at home with a pretty decent crowd. Unfortunately, they weren't able to win it, but I wish them all the best. And a big game here tonight because it's the swing game of the series down in Kansas.
He can talk hockey. He can talk baseball. He can talk fishing. He's Paul Edmonds. He's Utility Voice on Twitter, the perfect Twitter handle. Paulie, thanks for doing this, bud. Enjoy the rest of your time covering the Young Stars tournament.
Guys, my pleasure, and we'll see what happens tomorrow, and we'll keep in touch anytime.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. We'll see you soon, bud. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. 25 minutes past the top of the hour, still to come in a couple minutes' time. Scott Powers is going to join us to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, the Jets, of course, Central Division rival. So Scott Powers coming up in a couple minutes' time. Big props to Paul Edmonds for joining us earlier. We had Tim Campbell on, and of course, that great interview with former Winnipeg Jets goaltender Daniel Berthiaume. In case you missed any of that, it's available for download on iTunes, and will also be on our website, illegalcurve.com. Should mention that this segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years, and now they are open until 10 p.m. on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, allowing you even more time to get some of your deli favorites. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. As he returns to the studio, you get warming up that coffee there, Ez? Is nice and warm for you now?
Yeah, I always, you know, kind of go back and forth before the show whether I should get a medium or a large. And when I get a large, if I don't drink it during the first hour, it gets a little bit cold. So I just went to the kitchen and heated it up.
Yeah, you do that about, I'll give you credit. You must really not like lukewarm coffee because you warm that coffee up about 3 or 4 times in the course of the 3-hour program.
Do you like lukewarm coffee?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, I prefer my coffee to be hot, but it doesn't bother me enough to stand up, walk down the hall, microwave the coffee. I prefer lukewarm coffee to microwave coffee.
Drew, sometimes this is the only exercise I get in a week.
Also true.
And walking up the stairs at work. Yeah. So, for me, this is...
You know,
I'm putting in work.
We have to carry you from your car into the studio on a weekly basis. So that's something that's exciting. So that's true. You should keep warming up that coffee as many times as possible.
We shouldn't limit Paul Edmonds. Just one more thing. Paul Edmonds can also talk horse racing.
Horse racing. Well, that's, you know, last year when Ezzy called me Dink of the Year. Last week when Ezzy called me Dink of the Year, Paul, I guess, echoed that comment. Because was that the name of the horse or something?
So, Paul, what happened was, it was the last weekend of the, last weekend of the racing season.
Yeah, Dave, a big Cineboy Downs guy.
Big fan.
Yeah, former horse owner himself.
Correct.
Yes.
And so...
Dave had a pony.
I had a pony. Who thought an immigrant had a pony? Yeah. But I had a pony.
Exactly.
So, Paul thought it was a great name, and he tweeted it out saying Dink of the Year. And then, and sure enough, that horse, not only did it won, but I think it was like a 7-1 or 8-1 pick. So Paul hopefully won a little nice little chunk of change on Dink of the Year.
Yeah.
And then we had some fun on Twitter with it.
Actually,
including Ezzy calling Drew
Dink of the Year.
Dink of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
at my expense.
You know, I am admittedly not a big horse racing fan, even though for Drew's wedding, we went to Keeneland Racetrack in Kentucky.
Lovely.
And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a big
we won
horse racing
too.
Fan.
Yeah.
But I can still call Drew a horse's ace.
And on that note, we'll head to break and bring in Scott Powers from TheAthletic.com. He covers the Chicago Blackhawks. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program Scott Powers. Scott covers the Chicago Blackhawks for TheAthletic.com. Scott, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you on, Scott. You're our go-to guy when it comes to Blackhawks coverage.
It's been a while since we've had Scott on.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a while.
What's going on, Drew? You're booking the guests. How come we haven't had Scott on more regularly?
I tried to get Scott on a few times earlier in the summer. If I recall correctly, were you in Spain? Did I make that up?
Yeah, no, I bounced around a little bit. I also changed jobs. Obviously, I was with ESPN the last 6 years, so the move to The Athletic in Chicago, new websites, and kind of a exciting new venture. So, no, this is totally on me for not being on the show earlier.
Don't worry about it, Scott. We got you on.
Or against fault, so either one. So
there you go. It's all good. Obviously, brought you on to talk about the Blackhawks. As you know, lots of the Hawks players are participating, of course, in the World Cup of Hockey. But one big name who's not and who's missed on the Team Canada back end, Duncan Keith, questionable for the start of the season, even though, quote-unquote, it's nothing to be alarmed about. How true is that statement? Are the Blackhawks, you know, privately, are they a little more concerned about Duncan Keith's health entering this 2016-17 NHL season?
No, I haven't heard anything. Obviously, it was surprising he didn't participate in the World Cup. I mean, his injury was something, you know, he had surgery on in November of last year, and then, you know, I think he missed 10 games and played the rest of the season. So there was no sign that his right knee was bothering him ever since then. And, you know, when we talked to Stan Bowman in Toronto on Thursday, he had said just something that, you know, kind of he played throughout the season and kind of fought through it and just wasn't where he wanted to be when he had to make a decision about World Cup for Canada. So, you know, what I've been told is he's been skating. You know, Blackhawks been doing informal skates in Chicago the last week or so. He's been on the ice. You know, I haven't had a report of how strenuous those workouts have been, but he's out there, so it's not like he's, you know, he's got a cast or they're resting him a whole lot right now. So he was on the ice all throughout last week, and, you know, training camp will open this week, so we'll have a better idea. But, you know, from what Stan Bowman said and everything else I'm hearing, it's nothing really severe. I guess we'll see as camp opens up and those preseason games go whether he can, fully play. But, you know, from what Bowman said and everything else, it doesn't seem like it's something that's going to hold him back too much. You know, the Blackhawks do have a little bit of depth on the defense with some younger guys coming in, so that if he needs to miss a week or two or something like that, I think they have that luxury. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be anything that's going to be long-term.
Scott, as you know, the World Cup of Hockey starts today. Were you surprised to see that Corey Crawford is going to be backing up Carey Price for Canada against the Czech Republic in place of Braden Holtby?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously Holtby had such an amazing year last season. Crawford in his own right had probably his best season ever. I guess you can't really go wrong with either guy, but with Holtby's resume year and all that, it is a little bit surprising. I'd still be surprised if either one of those guys get to see the ice at all with Carey Price in there. And, you know, Corey Crawford kind of said the same thing, too. I mean, they kind of understand their place and understand who Carey Price is and what he means to this Team Canada in the past. So a little bit surprising. And, you know, I don't know if Corey Crawford ever sees the ice still despite that.
Scott, you know, lots of focus here, of course, on the local product, Jonathan Toews, and, you know, always been known as Captain Serious. Now he's being called Captain Social Media because he's switching, he's using it a lot more, having a lot more fun with it. What have you noticed in terms of the change in him as in over the years and now obviously, like, letting his hair down and being a little more fun than Captain Serious?
Yeah, you know, it's a sign of growth and maturity. You know, he's 28 now. He's, you know, been in the league. This will be his 10th season. I think it was a big step for him to join the social media world. I think he has a lot of interesting things about him, things that he does off the ice that aren't traditional and, you know, maybe a little bit different. He's obviously a very, you know, bright man and, you know, speaks knowledgeably about a lot of different things. I know that he's got into, you know, eating habits and, you know, kind of getting his mind right and a lot of stuff that he's been sharing. And I think it's also him opening up to allowing the fans in and everyone else just to who he is a little bit. And, you know, he did a lot of traveling this summer and sharing those pictures. And even, you know, it's often been said about his Toews face, just some of the facial expressions he made. And, you know, he cracked a joke about that, too. So I think he's just a lot more comfortable who he is in his own skin. And he's allowing other people into that. And, you know, it's been fun to see that evolution. And certainly, I guess, I'm sure fun for fans to see a little bit more of, you know, him off the ice.
Scott Powers has joined us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Scott covers the Chicago Blackhawks for TheAthletic.com. Scott, you were in Traverse City, Michigan yesterday. You might still be there, in fact, for the Chicago Blackhawks opening game of the NHL Rookie Tournament that takes place in Traverse City. And the Blackhawks' top line in that tournament is Tyler Motte, Nick Schmaltz, and Alex DeBrincat. Now, nobody expects DeBrincat to make the Blackhawks this coming season, but Motte and Schmaltz are two different guys in that the Blackhawks Blackhawks, you know, having to force young talent into their lineup as they always have salary cap trouble might need to play a big role for the team. What were your impressions of Mott and Schmaltz last night in their opening game at the Traverse City Rookie Tournament?
Yeah, both were solid. That whole line was, they created possession there, especially Schmaltz and DeBrincat are, both very offensively gifted guys. Mott had a breakout year in Michigan last year. He was second in the nation in goals. I think for all these teams here right now, just kind of feeling it out a little bit, getting their legs back. It's, the first kind of serious competition coming off the off season. First good step for those guys, and Schmaltz and Mott are two guys that will be, competing for jobs at training camp. I think Vinny Hinostroza, Ryan Hartman, other couple of their guys who've been in Rockford in the AHL the last couple of years. Even further down the line, there's more guys who feel like they can earn a spot. And, DeBrincat, even yesterday talking to him, and he's not crossing out that possibility. The one, I think it may be a little bit unrealistic now, but the one element that he does bring in the Blackhawks are lagging a little bit is offense, and maybe a little bit of offensive depth where, last year it was very one-line driven in that Panarin, Anisimov, Kane line, and they didn't really get much, a whole lot of production from elsewhere. Taves' season was a little substandard. Holtz's numbers have been declining, and now they trade Teravainen and Shaw, and Fleischman and Ladd and Weiss, guys that are expected to leave, weren't signed, and didn't really replace them with anyone. I mean, the one, major signing, if you can even call it that, was Tutu, and he's not bringing much offense to the table. So, Blackhawks are going to have to turn to these younger kids and expect them to take some massive strides. And the Hinostroza led the Ice Hogs in scoring last year, so they're hoping he takes a jump. And Richard Panik is a guy that showed some potential in the playoffs, but was also a healthy scratch, and they're expecting him to make some strides. And then Schmaltz and Mott have shown the offensive potential in college. So there's a number of guys that they need to take that next step for them to succeed, because on paper there isn't a whole lot of scoring depth coming back, and it'll be interesting to see where they get that from this year.
Scott, obviously one of the biggest or the biggest offseason move the Chicago Blackhawks made was bringing Brian Campbell in from the Florida Panthers. But when you look at that Chicago Blackhawks defense, Duncan Keith, Nicholas Jalmerson, and Brian Campbell, they're all left-shot defensemen. There's been some talk that Nicholas Jalmerson is going to play on the right side. What do you see the Blackhawks doing heading into training camp into the regular season?
Yeah, Jalmerson's actually played the right side pretty much for the Blackhawks the last two or three years, where, even with Oduya, he went to the right side, and with Duncan Keith, he's played the right side. And Jalmerson said he actually prefers it there. He's more comfortable defending, and, he's not asked to do a whole lot offensively, so I don't think it's a huge component there. I think getting the pucks out sometimes difficult, trying to, from D-man to D-man, and some of that's kind of exposed when you have that, the guy on the right side who's left-handed shot. So, but he's actually more comfortable there, and when we asked him about it, when I was in Toronto on Thursday too, he said he'd like to play the right side again too, and I think it's going to play out that way, where I think Keith and Jarmuson will be a pairing again. I think Campbell and Seabrook will be a pairing, and then the third pairing I think will be Michael Kempney, a player they signed from the Czech Republic, who played at the KHL last season and has actually been leading the Czech Republic in ice time through the exhibition games of the World Cup. And then Trevor Van Riemsdyk will move down, where he played a top four role last year, and probably a little bit over his head as his first full NHL season, and a little bit exposed at times defensively. And this way you put him on the third pairing, he can also go back to the right side, his natural side, and maybe be a little bit more sheltered than he was a season ago.
Scott, with the number of Chicago Blackhawks that are playing in the World Cup of Hockey, are fans in Chicago, like your readers and people you talk to, are they interested in it, or are they already saying, let's start the NHL regular season?
It's hard to gauge so far. I think there's some interest. The fact there are so many Blackhawks and it spread out some over some other teams. I think people are curious to see what Artemi Panarin does, especially when he's not playing with Kane. And I think he's been pretty good in those Russia exhibition games. And Kempney being a new guy and probably stepping into the lineup, I think there's some intrigue there. And the fact that it is Canada, which is Taves, and U.S., it's Kane, that I think there's some intrigue to see always those two guys playing each other. And I think overall there's definitely interest. I think they're hopeful, obviously, no one gets hurt. We're hosting Kruger, both got hurt in their first exhibition game, so I think that's a little bit of concern. like any team, but the fact that it happened so early for the Blackhawks and both of those guys seem like they'll be okay. But from what I've heard, there's definitely enough intrigue just because there are so many Blackhawks involved in the tournament.
Scott Powers joins us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Scott, talking about the Chicago Blackhawks, I should add. Scott, you look at the Blackhawks, you know, projected lineup entering the season, and you know, we mentioned earlier in the interview about Tyler Motte and Nick Schmaltz about how, you know, the Blackhawks will be counting on those two players to probably make the team and be viable top nine forwards for the team. If one of them struggles, or if they're not quite ready, or if, you know, any litany of different things could happen in the course of an NHL season, is this Blackhawks team sort of as thin up front after, you know, after Taves and after Kane and after Hossa? Are they as thin up front as they've been in the last, you know, 5 years?
Yeah, I would say so, especially since Hossa's plays decline, where he's still reliable defensively and, you know, still one of the best in the league, best back checkers, and does a lot of things for them. But the fact that, you know, I think he had 6 5-on-5 goals last year, his shooting percentage has been down the last 2 years, and then, you know, at 37, it's, you know, it's likely not going to rebound, and I think he understands those expectations. So, you know, in the playoffs last year, he actually got moved down and played more of a third-line role with Marcus Kruger, and Ladd was on that line too, I think, and they started a lot in the defensive zone, and I think Quinville likes to maybe see what the line's capable of doing. Obviously, Ladd's not there, but the fact you put Kruger and Hossa together, two of your better defensive players, and maybe put them in a larger defensive role, maybe shift the ice a little bit and create some possession, but you're still probably not going to get a lot of scoring from there. So if you take Hossa off that top line, it's Taves and who knows who. And then the second line, you have Panarin and Anisimov and Kane. And I actually think for this reason, I think Quinville's going to consider breaking up that line and maybe putting Kane and Taves together again. Just because in the past, where his decision has been, Quinville's decision has been to break those guys apart so they create more balance in the lineup. And I think now actually putting them together might create more balance if you put Taves and Kane and a younger guy in the first line, and then have Anisimov and Panarin and a younger guy in the second line. You still have some offensive potential there, but I think Quinville's very mindful of last year being a very one-line team at times and not having that balance. So I think he's going to try a lot of different things, and what you see at the beginning of the season probably won't be what you see, you know, within a few games, because there are so many different possibilities. And even with the young guys trying to kind of feel it out. And, you know, when Brandon Saad came up a couple of years ago, he sort of had the safety net of playing with Hossa and Taves. And I don't know if that's the case as much with the new guys now, too. So maybe trying to put some of those older veterans together to kind of ease those younger guys in might be a possibility.
Scott, this is going back a few weeks now, but were you surprised that the Blackhawks didn't end up signing Jimmy Vesey, because Chicago was at the top of that list of teams that he was potentially going to sign with?
Yeah, I don't know, surprised. You know, I the fact that they were in the running and one of the finalists was kind of, you assume that was going to be the case because of all the time they put in and the opportunity that they were able to offer with, you know, basically telling him that he can be on the top line with Taves. Kind of stepping into a really good spot because the Blackhawks need a left winger, top line left winger. So, you know, I expected them to be in the running, which they were, and you just weren't sure how much the decision was going to come down to his heart, and you know, having friends in certain places in Boston and New York, and you know, being an East Coast guy. So, you know, the final decision being New York, I guess, wasn't too surprising considering that, and you know. When I asked Bowman about it the other day, and he, you know, kind of shrugged it off. But I think, you know, the fact that they were looking at Vesey as a possible top line left winger kind of speaks to how you know, desperate they are for someone to step in and just how, I guess, thin they are offensively. So I think at some level it did affect the Blackhawks, and someone they saw they could have penciled it into a, you know, top six spot this season.
Scott Powers covers the Chicago Blackhawks for TheAthletic.com. He's a frequent guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Scott, thanks for your time this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon. Let's head to break. One final segment. When we come back, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, one final segment this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Chris Gordon in town for his final two shows. He's been killing it at Rumors for the past 2 weeks. So you still have time to check out Chris Gordon tonight at Rumors, 7:15 and 10 p.m. And then, of course, next week, starting, I believe that would be on Thursday, Tom Green at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Some tickets still available. Check it out online. Get your tickets to see Tom Green ASAP.
I don't know if this is a coincidence or they're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, but my most recent Twitter follower is Assurance DD. And their Twitter bio is, we're a year-round designated driver service offering Winnipeggers a safe alternative to driving impaired.
Well, that's a very good, it's a good company. Good, and you should never drive impaired, so be sure to check out Assurance DD. And Ezzy, you know, you are a testament to maybe not doing radio while impaired, because I must say that you've rallied well after a late night at and an early morning at a wedding yesterday. Unfortunately, things got off to a bit of a rocky start for the wedding. It was out of town, and the bride and the groom had arranged a bus to take everybody.
And now
to
you're
going to
throw me under.
I was going
to
say, and Drew's currently about to drive it right over.
Right over you. And the meeting place for the bus was a you know, I believe at a you go to the Smitty's in the parking lot there. The bus will be there. Fortunately, you went to the wrong Smitty's location.
Well, again, yeah, you're going to throw me under the bus
right
here and
under
make me talk about it live on air, just like my entire life is always just live on air,
it's
Drew.
An open
but
book.
Yes, I was at a wedding last night in St. Agathe, beautiful wedding, Cartier Park. Shout out to Sammy and Diana. And we took a bus to and from the wedding.
No, you were supposed to take a bus to and from
the
wedding.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. A lot of other people took a bus to and from the wedding. You, unfortunately, only took the bus from the wedding because you went to the wrong location.
Let me interject quickly. Just to note, so as he was telling me the story today on the way to the station, and uh-huh. he goes, well, you know, there's a 4:30 and a 5:45, whatever, bus. And I said, well, as the good news is, at least you were on the early one. He goes, oh, no, I was on the later one.
And then I actually wasn't on any of them.
No. And, exactly. And then you had to get your girlfriend's sister to drive you to St. Agathe.
Yes. Thank you very much to Leia for driving us.
Uh-huh. A lot of shout outs to the show.
Well, but, yeah, it's a very friendly show we have here. We like to shout out people.
Is it anybody's birthday today?
We already did all the birthday shout outs earlier when you were indisposed before the start of the show.
We can still wish Dave a happy birthday from 2 days ago.
We did already. We did this at
wish him a happy birthday
ago.
Again.
Happy birthday again, Dave.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so
you.
I missed the bus.
You got to the wedding. Did you miss the ceremony or did you get to the wedding?
No. We were on time.
Okay.
It was a lovely wedding. Mm-hmm. What was amazing about Sammy and Diana's wedding last night is they had food trucks. Set up outside of Cartier Park. It was unbelievable. And fried chicken.
Uh-huh.
And I must have had at least 6 or 7 pieces of fried chicken. It was unbelievable. Finger licking good.
Doctor recommends at least a good your daily intake of fried chicken of 6 to 7 pieces.
Nothing soaks up the wobbly pops like fried chicken.
Let me tell you, some people say you have to do a breathalyzer. We had him do a cholesterol test after that wedding.
He's flunked that test for a lot of years now. That cholesterol test has been through the roof. We're not actually sure how he's still upright. But anyways, yes.
You know what, Drew? It doesn't matter if I'm at a wedding. Sometimes Friday nights I stay home and just prepare. Last night was not one of those nights, but it doesn't matter. I show up to the show every week.
You bring your A-game all the time.
Every week. I haven't missed a show. I'm like the TSN 1290 Iron Man.
You play hurt, which is very impressive. That you know, you play hurt, and it doesn't matter what state you're in. You bring your A game each and every. You're Michael Jordan in the flu game back in whatever year that was when he won the NBA championships against the Utah Jazz. Doesn't matter the state that you're in. You always bring the heat each and every night, each and every day, and you do get props for that, even if you miss the bus to the wedding.
Yes, that's true.
Ken Holland, Detroit Red Wings general manager. We've got a couple minutes before we got to wrap up and bring in Blue Bomber game day right after us. Ken Holland, Red Wings general manager, has been their long-term NHL general manager, was doing an interview earlier in the week with NHL.com, and he said there are 5 or 6 Stanley Cup contenders for the coming season, and we're not one of them. Do you want your general manager being that brutally honest at the start of the year?
I don't have a problem with it. I think that he's tempering expectations to the fan base potentially, and he's also challenging his team. So he's kind of it's a two-pronged approach. If he says that at the beginning of the year and the fans point back, he'll be able to say, look, I acknowledge that we were in a rebuild, if you will, or we're just kind of retooling the team. So he has that to point to kind of fall back on. But at the same time, it's a challenge. He's seeing to his, especially because he's got a veteran team. He's got some older guys who are, you know, at the towards the end of their career. You know, this is your kind of maybe your chance. If you want to have a last chance for romance, then now is the time. And it's maybe a bit of a challenge from the GM.
Ezzy, what about it? Do you think that that honesty is appreciated by his players? Or do you think that, you know, they might say, yeah, we know it, but you don't necessarily have to broadcast it far and wide that that we are not one of the preeminent teams in the NHL?
I agree with what Dave said, and I don't think you should read too much into this. I mean, Detroit was not very good in the playoffs. They got ousted by the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. Mm-hmm. They make the playoffs every year, though. I wouldn't bet against the Detroit Red Wings. They just, that's what they do. They make the playoffs year after year. What is it, 25 years now, 24 years? So this team, though, I don't think it's a Stanley Cup contender. And I agree with Ken Holland. I would probably even shorten that list to maybe even three or four teams. Yeah. And Pittsburgh was not on my list last year, but I think you could throw in Chicago, Dallas, Washington. I would probably throw in Florida there now.
But that's my point, though. You just said Pittsburgh wasn't on my list last year. And for a lot of players, or a lot of people,
well,
Pittsburgh
wasn't. You get good goaltending, and when you have Sidney Crosby.
Of course. But, I mean, it really took till February or March for the Penguins to hit their stride.
So, when Mike Sullivan took over.
Right. So isn't it a little bit odd that a general manager is coming out in September and saying, you know, and maybe Peter Mrazek turns into the second coming of Dominik Hasek. And I don't expect that to happen, but Peter
Mrazek, starting for the Czech Republic tonight.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, it all starts in net, and you know, you mentioned. So I just find it. I appreciate the honesty from a journalist standpoint, but at the flip side, from a player standpoint, I'm not sure I appreciate him being that forthcoming with your prediction about the team's quality.
I don't have a problem with it, and I think you could also look at it, guys, like he's trying to motivate his team. And maybe they can relish that underdog role and exceed the expectations maybe that they think for themselves.
Dave, you want to mention, we should say before the end of the show, we want to give our condolences. Our condolences to the family of Kroppy. Len Korpiowski passed away earlier in the week. And, of course, it's we've been at every NHL Winnipeg Jets game since they've come back. And it's not going to be the same, and it hasn't been the same, without Kroppy in attendance. So before the show is completed here today, we do want to also add to the voices of all Winnipeg Jets fans who have expressed their condolences on the passing of Len. He certainly was a great Winnipeg Jets fan, a former military man, so he served this country very well. So we do want to, of course, pay our condolences to him and his entire family and wish him all the best, you know, and everything else, and thank him for his years of service in Winnipeg, in the Kenora region, and everywhere else.
Yeah, we salute you, Kroppy.
Absolutely. 100%. That's it for this Saturday morning in the Legal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Keener Jerseys, and Bell Acres and Clear Lake Golf Course. Big thanks to today's guest, Tim Campbell of NHL.com, Scott Powers of TheAthletic.com, Paul Edmonds, Jets broadcaster here on TSN 1290, and of course, former Winnipeg Jets goaltender Daniel Berthiaume. In case you missed any of the program, it's available for download on iTunes. It's also available on our website, IllegalCurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at IllegalCurve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com. Props to Chris behind the board doing a great job. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Blue Bomber Game Day here on TSN 1290.